Good evening. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Tonight I want to take a few minutes and go through an Old Testament story and look at many of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ does for His people. And in doing so, I'm not going to say anything new. I'm not going to blow you away with some knowledge or something that you've never heard. In fact, I'm probably going to be very repetitive and say a bunch of things that you may have even heard this morning. But I ask the Lord that He might allow us to enter into these things. I am smitten by how often things in this world or things I watch on TV emotionally affect me. I'm amazed at how often I see a movie scene that almost brings me to tears or emotionally gets me involved. And yet, when I sit in a pew and hear someone talk about the amazing things the Lord Jesus Christ has done for His people, that He's done for me, that so often it just rolls over me as if it's just another thing that someone's telling me that doesn't matter. And I pray that as we go through this story, that the Lord would give us just a touch of the emotion, of the intensity, and almost a celebration that we should have when we hear and see all these things that He's done for His children. And the story that we're going to look at is of Rahab. And I love Rahab. Rahab is one of those people that when I hear her name, it just makes me smile. There are many reasons for that, but probably the most important is because when I hear Rahab the harlot, she's always conjoined with that description of her. That when we look at the city of Jericho here that's about to be destroyed, a city of thousands and thousands of people, that if you would have gone in and asked, who's the worst person in this city? Some people would have said, Rahab. That if they would have said, who out of all the people in this city definitely does not deserve any mercy or any grace or any benefits, people would have said Rahab. And yet, when Rahab is described in the New Testament three separate times, this is what we hear of Rahab. In Matthew, it tells us that she ended up marrying a man named Salmon, a prince of the tribe of Judah, and was the mother of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, and the great-great-grandmother of King David, and eventually through that line came the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Hebrews 11, it says this, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. In this chapter here that some people call Faith's Hall of Fame, Rahab is listed with Abraham and Isaac and these people. And then in James chapter 2, it says this about her. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James gives two examples. He chooses out of a whole Bible two examples of faith. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he'd offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with its works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed for him unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Rahab is listed among these people. Yet what we see in this story of Rahab, there's no way. It doesn't add up. And the only way that this comes is because the title of my message, which is By a Scarlet Cord. That's the reason. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only reason a person can go from who Rahab was to who she is. And in these things, I also love to notify that Rahab still, despite the change, despite what the Lord did for her, she's still called Rahab the harlot in all these descriptions. Talking about how wonderful her faith was, they still gave her that description. And I don't think we like to think about it, but we all have our own monikers that go with our name. Everybody has negative thoughts with each one of us. And it's of great comfort when you see someone like Rahab and you think, if the Lord does something like this for her, he might do something for me. And you see, if the Lord is able to do something for someone like her, he's able to do it for someone like me. To a chief of sinners, it's wonderful to see another chief of sinners have all the benefits of the blood of Christ. So looking here in Joshua chapter 2, we'll just go through these verses. And again, let's try to enter into these things that the Lord has done for Rahab. And remember, throughout this story, Joshua is a picture of Christ. Throughout the Bible, Joshua is such a wonderful picture of the Lord. And when Joshua does things, so often we'll interpret those as the Lord doing something. So in verse 1 of Joshua 2, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." The Lord Jesus Christ always sends a messenger to his children. You talk about something I take for granted. I go through every week, wake up in the morning, go about my business, and I actually think I consider it a right or something I deserve that I'm going to show up to this place and someone's going to preach the gospel to me. That is not something that everyone has. It's not something that everyone always gets. If the Lord tarries long enough, all of us will go through that. We will all have times where we don't have a place or a person to preach the gospel to us. We cannot take that for granted. We must understand that. And I also love that in this, Joshua sent two spies into Jericho. I have always been amazed that Joshua sent two spies into Jericho, because 40 years previously, they sent spies into the land of Canaan, and Joshua one of them, and they came back, and 10 of the 12 spies said, "That land is amazing, but we can't do it. They're too big. We can't take that." And they spent 40 years in the wilderness. So I always wondered, why in the world would Joshua send spies again? It didn't go well last time. He sent two spies in because they had to go see Rahab. They had to go get Rahab. Look at verse 2. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.'" Something that always follows the word of God and the message is the Lord's going to send trials. Trials just always come. And a couple things about trials are important that we remember. First off, the Lord easily could have hid his spies. He easily could have turned the eyes of the king and everyone, and no one ever knew that they were there. It was him, the Lord, sent the trials. He sent the trial to Rahab here. Secondly, though we struggle through trials and we don't like them and we get so frustrated with them, the trial that the Lord sent Rahab here, thousands and thousands of years later, this trial is still benefiting his sheep. We benefit because of this trial that Rahab went through, and we must keep that in mind. We have no idea why the Lord is sending a trial to us or our friends, our family, or whatnot, but it's good and it's right and it's for his sheep. I am so thankful he made Rahab go through this, so we could see what he does for his sheep. Look at verse 4. "And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.'" Rahab took the men and hid them. The Lord opened her eyes. Rahab was a woman who had an inn. She had this place that people stayed. How in the world did she decide, based off these men coming in here, to defy her king? Think about what she's going through right here. She just got confronted by the people of her city, and she's going to tell them a lie. The Lord has opened her eyes to who they were. He also will give us strength in these times of fear. Rahab here had to have been scared. She's saying something. She's basically giving herself a death sentence by lying to them. She's choosing to go against the king here. But the Lord will give us strength in these times of fear. And finally, in this verse, the Lord will make us choose the correct side. I often think that, or I give myself credit for believing the gospel. Now, I know it's not me. I know it's not of me. I know I didn't do it. The Lord gets all the glory in every way. But for some reason, I just act like, and I make the presumption that I am the person have somehow chosen what I believe. We will 100% of the time choose the wrong side. It is our nature to go against God in everything. That's just who we are and what we do. But thankfully, the Lord makes his sheep choose him. Because he chose us, we choose him. We get no glory in it. It's all of the Lord. Look in verse 5. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Thankfully, the Lord will give us the right words. The Lord will show us what to say and how to protect us from our enemies. Rahab was protected here from these people. The Lord gave her what she needed to say and exactly what she needed to do to protect her. Look at verse 8. Verse 7, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. I love that the moment these people were gone out of Rahab, she ran straight up to the roof to check on them. The Lord makes us care for his messengers. We, again, take it such for granted that we have someone who will take all the time, the effort, and the burden of preaching the gospel to us. We need to, and thankfully the Lord makes us, to care for those who preach his word. It is a burden that we can't comprehend. To be a pastor and preach the gospel is something that I can't comprehend. And we need the Lord to make us to understand and to care for his messengers. Look in verse 9. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. The Lord made Rahab to see him. She made Rahab to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ was. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. The Lord will reveal his power and his authority to all his sheep. Rahab here didn't have any special information. Rahab was in that city, and these men came to her, and somehow, and we'll see in the next couple verses, she understood who they were messengers of. She understood who had sent them, and she understood that the one who had sent them, the Lord, that he had the power. And then look at verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. She says, we all, everyone in this city, has heard of him. Verse 11, she says, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. The Lord Jesus Christ makes everyone to hear of him. But the Lord makes his children to hear him and to see who he is. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes them to believe. These two verses, Rahab says, everyone in this city has seen what your Lord has done. We saw how he parted the Red Sea and destroyed all the Egyptian army for you. He says, we see what you did to those kings of the Amorites when they all joined forces and came against you and you destroyed all of them. We've seen all these amazing things you've done. And as we heard these things, as everyone heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. That's what everyone in this city thought. But Rahab says, this is what I thought. When I heard those things, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. The Lord Jesus Christ shows his children who he is and that he is God. This city, all these people, think about the thousands and thousands of people in this city. All of them had heard the exact same stories, and one person got the truth out of it. We take it for granted that there are literally billions of people who have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he chose to teach us, to show us that he is God. I mean, that should slay us. I mean, billions of people. And he has taken a remnant of people, and we are among those people. I mean, that is mind-blowing that he would do that for us. Look here in verse 12. Then Rahab says, now therefore, I pray you, the Lord Jesus Christ makes his people to pray. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us an urgency. Rahab here is not worried about what's going to happen to her city or any of this stuff. She knows who the Lord is, and she immediately says, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. We live without urgency. The Lord has given us so many things and so many privileges and has been so gracious and merciful to us that we rarely have urgency in anything that matters. We find ourselves in a position that we feel comfortable with the way things are. We need to have an urgency that Rahab has here. She says, we've seen what your God does. I know he's God, and I need assurance that he'll do something for me. And even though we believe the Lord has, this urgency should just course through our veins on a consistent basis. We should wake up every morning thinking, Lord, thank you. Thank you. So in every moment of the day, we should. And I promise you, I'm talking to myself here. I cannot believe that I can go from a Sunday night service, walking out of this door and make it how many ever hours it is until I remember it's Wednesday and we have church tonight before I think of a single thing to say a word to the Lord. That is embarrassing. It's such an understatement. The Lord must give us an urgency to worship him, to pray to him. Look at verse 13. Rahab continues, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. The Lord gives us, as he gives Rahab here, a sincere desire for the salvation of our families. It is shameful to say that most of my life, I was not that concerned about the salvation of my family. Now, I'll use the excuse that I've always felt like I was behind them in this regard, that they knew the gospel and way before I did and all those things. But it's embarrassing to say I didn't do that. But now that I have children, there's a different urgency with that. And I'm bringing this point up because of this. This story we see here and other stories in the scripture should give us not just hope or optimism that the Lord would save our families, but that we see a sinner like Rahab who says, I pray, swear by the Lord that you will have mercy on my family. And that's all she does. And it's done. if we pray to the Lord, He hears us. We should have hope and optimism that He will do this for us in the same way that He has done for Rahab. Look at verse 14. And the men answered her. The spies said, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." It's not an accident that this four-word phrase is used here. Our life for yours. The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for ours. That's exactly what He did. We had to die, but He died for us. There's no greater sacrifice. There's no greater thing that's ever been done for anyone. He died so we didn't have to. He gave us His perfect righteousness. He died for us. The center margin says this could say, "Our life instead of you to die." The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life so that we didn't die. He did that for us. And then something else the Lord does at the end of this verse, it says that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. The Lord Jesus Christ will deal kindly and truly with His children. The kindly part is because of His love and affection for His sheep. And the Lord loves His children. He truly does. And He shows kindness upon them. And the truly part of this, the Lord deals with everyone truly. Oftentimes, I feel like I'm dealt with differently. But actually, He just deals with me because I'm under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in Him, and I'm dealt with because I have His righteousness. That's why I get the reward I do. Look at verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear." Rahab just happened to have a red cord in her house. This scarlet cord is such a great picture of the blood of Christ. We'll see here how that cord is the only escape for the spies. It's the only protection for Rahab when the battle starts. The blood of Christ is what we need to depend on in every situation. It is our defense. It is our shield. It is our protection. It's everything for us. We need to find ourselves always under the blood of Christ. And at the same time, I love that Rahab didn't know this. Rahab didn't... She didn't realize what she had in the sense that the child of God always has the blood of Christ on them. We were saved before the foundation of the world. Rahab already had the red cord. She just didn't know what it was. The Lord hadn't revealed it to her and what it would be used as. But the child of God is saved from the foundation of the world, and how wonderful that is. All right, keep going to verse 18. "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." These men said, when we come back, if that cord is in your window, you'll be safe. And anyone that's under the blood, anyone in your house is going to be safe. But if there's anybody who's not in this house, their blood is on their own hands. That has nothing to do with us. The blood is your protection. If you are not under the blood, then you will not be spared the wrath of God. So keep going in verse 20. "And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window." The Lord Jesus Christ provides His sheep with salvation. The Lord gives us what we need. He does everything. We don't have to do anything. The cord that these men were going out of the window was already there. She didn't need to do anything. The Lord makes us And Rahab's answer here, when she says, "So be it," that's her answer to them. The Lord makes us content about the deal He has made with us. The word content often has a bad connotation to it. People will say things like, "You can't be content with that. You can't be content with your lot in life. You have to improve yourself. You got to get a better job. You got to do all these things." Content isn't seen as a word that's a positive. But the child of God is truly content with what the Lord has done for them. And that's because we can't get any higher. We can't get any better. What He has provided for us is perfection. It's everything we need. There's no reason for us to attain for more because we can't get more. There is nothing more than that. And not only are we content, but we're also ecstatic about the deal. And I use that term deal, I don't mean to say what the Lord has given us. We are ecstatic about it. We understand who we are and the position we're in. Rahab here, at no point does she negotiate. She asks, she prays, "Please save us." And whatever these men say, she says, "So be it." That's good. Whatever the Lord says, whatever the deal I'm given, wherever the lot I'm cast, I'm good with it. They say, "Just be under the blood of Christ, and that's all you need. That's all we need." And the Lord also makes us want to be under the blood of Christ. When these men were about to leave, they said unto her in verse 18, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window." They tell her, "Now when we come back, when the battle starts, you put that cord in the window, and that's your protection." And we'll see here as this story goes on, from when they crawl down, we know that they have to go for 3 days and hide in the wilderness. Then they'll make their way back. And then we don't know how long after that it'll be before the army comes. So Rahab is in a position here where she has aided and abetted the enemy, which they will kill her for if anyone finds out. No questions asked, even if they think something would have happened. So she lives on the wall, and she's got a cord, a red rope. And now it's got to be big enough that a grown man could use to go down the wall. She has a red cord on a light-colored wall hanging there. That is a very obvious sign of something peculiar. You are about to be attacked by an enemy, and you have your greatest defense is a wall, but we're going to put a rope out there so people could climb in. She is taking a huge risk at any point putting the rope out there, okay? So we know it's going to be at least days, if not further than that. So go down and look in verse 21. "And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed." What did she do? Immediately. "And she bound the scarlet line in the window." The moment they climbed down, she said, "I'm under the blood. I don't care if I get caught. I am not being caught without this rope in this window." And that's the way we need to be. We don't know when the battle's going to start. We don't know when danger is going to present itself. We have to be under the blood at all times. Now, I say all that knowing that the Lord puts us under the blood. We just need to have this urgency and understand that that's where we need to be. We have to be under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our only hope for salvation. Verse 22, "And they went, and they came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not." The Lord hides His children. The Lord protects His sheep. Rahab and these spies, they were fine. No matter how this worked out, the Lord was protecting them, no matter how it ended. Verse 23, "So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them." These men told everything to the Lord, and the Lord knows all things. The Lord sees everything. The Lord is understands and knows and is the doer of all things. And finally, verse 24, it says, "And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." These two men came back, and they gave the report of Rahab. Rahab was the one who they used to see everything that was going to happen, to see the providence of God. And they came back and said, "Everyone is scared of us." Now, I don't know how all the other people felt, but it didn't matter. the Lord was going to give them the victory. Now turn with me to Joshua 6, and let's close this with how this story ends. The next few chapters, the people of Israel get ready for the battle. And the Battle of Jericho is one in which the army gets up and surrounds the city and walks around it. And Joshua tells everyone, no one say a word. No sounds whatsoever. I don't want to hear anything from a single person. And they go around and they'll blow trumpets. And they go around every day, 6 days in a row. And then on the seventh day, they go around. And look at verse chapter 6, verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. I love to think about this very moment. These people had wandered the wilderness for 40 years waiting to take that city. And they got to the city and they said, now we're going to do it. And they encompassed that city 7 days in a row, and no one could make a single noise. And then finally, once they'd encompassed it seven times, Joshua said, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. In verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. In this very moment, the entire army of Israel scream at the top of their lungs. And why did they shout? They didn't shout to knock down the wall. They didn't shout to get the victory. They shouted because the Lord hath given them the city. We celebrate what the Lord has done. The Lord gets the victory. The Lord fights the battle. The Lord does everything, and we just celebrate Him doing it. And it says, everyone in the city, except Rahab the harlot, only she shall live, and all that are in her house. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Look at verse 22. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. The Lord keeps His promise. The Lord said, go get her. Get her and everyone in the house, and you bring them out. We're not waiting till the battle's over. We're not going to make them suffer through any of this. I want you to send someone that they know, a messenger that they will recognize, and the Lord takes them out and brings them unto Him. One day, the Lord will send someone to take His sheep, and they will bring Him, and because they're under the blood, they'll bring them unto Him. Look at verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. The men went in, and everybody, every single person that was under the blood came out safely. Everybody. We don't know who it is. We don't know how many people. But every single person that was in that house that was under the blood got taken out and brought into the king's fold, brought into Israel. Verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. They destroyed everything, everything but Rahab and those that were under the blood. And verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab. The Lord saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household and all that she had. We constantly see here that it says, every single time it says he saved Rahab, it says, and her father's household, and all that she had. He saved everybody that's under the blood. And she dwelleth, Rahab dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day. She dwelled in Israel forever, because she had hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. The Lord saves His children, and we will dwell with Him for all our days. And in closing, let me read these lines from a song we all know so well. Under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold. Under the blood of Jesus, safe while the ages roll. Safe though the world may crumble, Safe though the stars grow dim, under the blood of Jesus, I am secure in Him. All right.